This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Carm here. You know, our guests are hardly ever shy to be completely transparent about their own personal ups and downs. Now, use their advice to avoid possible roadblocks in your business and start growing yourself and your people. Now, please, please use our mountain of audio and video content as your personal networking group. Hey, where did you learn about finances? Did you learn it from your parents? Well, probably not. You know, finances are one of the most important elements in our life, yet most of us never really understand it or even discuss it with our spouses or employees. Listen to three shop owners that make finances a very big part of the conversation in their business and for their people. Hey, thanks to our sponsor, Shopware and Broadly, for providing you this episode. You know, when was the last time you heard a customer say, "Thank you for taking my money"? Get Shopware's shop management software, and your customers will be shouting it from the rooftops in overwhelming five-star reviews. Learn more at getshopware.com. Tell them Carm sent you. Hey, looking to upgrade your website and make it easier for customers to connect with your shop? Well, let Broadly build you a professional, responsive website you can be sure proud of and show it off. On the web at getbroadly.com/chat. John Gustafson is here, Gustafson Brothers, Huntington Beach, California. Hey, John.
Howdy.
And Frank Scandura. Frank's European, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Greetings, humans.
Frank's been so kind to allow us to do a shop tour and some shows right from his place. He's also a coach for Transformers. Good to have you here, Frank.
Thank you, sir. Glad to be here.
Russell Crosby, Russ's Ranch, Clinton, New Jersey. How's the snow over there, buddy?
We're loving it. We're loving it. We've got ice today, but, you know, we've had our fair share of snow here the last couple weeks.
Well, I don't want to brag or anything, but it's been snowing here for like 24 hours in the buff. But here's what I want to learn from today's session myself on how we can help our people with finances. How can we help them learn to be better savers? How can we help them reduce debt? I mean, listen, this is not only for our people, but there's some great disciplines for us as shop owners too. Stop living paycheck to paycheck, which is something that's almost like a sport. There's so much stress on the family, a family and even individuals. And what roles do we play in helping our people? Hey, Russ, I want to go to you first. I know you have a great culture in your business, and I believe that great culture helps shape and form the ability to be able to talk to your people transparently about finances.
If you don't have that culture prior to trying to talk about finance, it's something that's so personal, right? Like, it's really hard to open up those doors for that conversation. So the first thing is really ensuring that you have that culture and that your team feels comfortable talking to you about something so private. And typically, when they have to have that conversation, it's normally not a good situation that they're in. So you want to make sure that they feel, you know, very confident and comfortable and know that you're not going to leak that information to other people. You know, you're a confidant to them. So I think, you know, it really starts with culture in your business, and it opens the doors for them to be able to talk to you about these things.
Once you get someone to share that, I mean, it's confidential. Do you have to say, listen, I know I can't cross that line, and if not, no one would ever trust me again?
For someone to talk to you about something so personal as their finances, I think it goes without saying, if for some reason I had a conversation with another person in the shop or even someone outside of the shop and it got back to that team member of ours, they're going to lose confidence in you, and that's going to spread like wildfire in the shop. So knowing the value of that conversation and then protecting it and, you know, just making sure that person feels confident in talking to you. Because look, when you're talking about finances, it's not a one-time conversation. That's a conversation that has to last a long time. So you have to cherish that, and you have to kind of coddle it like a baby, a newborn, right? You have to keep it going, and you've got to protect it and make sure that that they want to continue to come back to you. And also, you know, we hit hiccups in the road too when we're going down a path of trying to become financially free. When you hit those hiccups, you want them to feel comfortable coming and talking to you too when, you know, they made a mistake or something happened.
This is an episode that I think could be transformative. I know it'll be transformative inside of your business and for you as a leader. Frank, maturity, you know, we have to sometimes grow up and learn how to deal with money.
And that's the problem, because we're not taught at a young age. For those who do really want to make an impact, Dave Ramsey does offer a high school curriculum that you can get involved in. And because we're not taught, and most parents don't talk about their finances with their kids. Mom, I want this. No, you can't have it. Instead of saying, okay, if you want that, this is how we budget for it. This is how we save for it. And this is how we get it. I tried to set my kids up with four jars. And it was like every dollar that came in, 25% went in each jar. And I wanted them to see savings, short-term spending, long-term savings, and taxes. I needed them to learn early. Without being able to teach them that, nobody knows how to handle money. They don't know what questions to ask. And I think we can give them those lessons without asking, how much did you make? How much did you spend on groceries? What'd you do? What'd you do? What'd you do? I'm honestly a believer that most people don't have an income problem. They have a spending problem. We see it all the time in Dave Ramsey, you know, in one of my classes that was struggling financially, to find out they're making like $1,800 in car payments a month. It's mind boggling. And people can learn. You don't need car payments. You don't need credit card debt. And you can save money and live within your means, regardless of how much you make.
$1,800. Is that a Lamborghini?
No, that was just two nice cars.
Frank, I think what you just said is so powerful. When kids come up and say, hey, I want to buy this or I want to buy that. I'm dealing with my children right now. I have a four-year-old and a two-year-old, and I have one on the way. I've got a new one
coming. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. My wife might kill me because we haven't told all our family yet, but I'm telling you guys because you're my family. But I think one of the reasons why our parents don't talk to us about money is, you touched on it, they don't teach it. Like, education about finances is so lost. It's incredible. We don't ever learn about it. So I feel like when we go to our parents or we go to other people, they really don't know. They don't really know what the right answer is either. So they don't want to give bad information. So they choose not to give any information.
So what do you think happens to a child who doesn't know how to earn and save and protect their finances when they go into business?
So I can tell you from firsthand experience, you make a lot of poor decisions and you're very short-sighted. You take deals that you shouldn't take. And ultimately, if you don't figure out a way to get out of those deals, man, it'll bury you. It just buries you. Understanding finances prior to going into business, and I'm not talking about becoming a financial advisor, but just basic knowledge of finances and is so crucial prior to going into business that I can't really think of anything else. It's almost more important to me now. If I would have known what I know now prior to opening my business, it's more valuable to me than actually knowing my trade.
John, I know that you are very open to your people coming in to talk to you about finances. What I also know is that you're more than willing to put up Post-it notes and put up the entire budget and do the spreadsheets and help your people, you know, spend less and save more.
When we bring somebody new on board, we find out what their wins are, what's important now in their world. And most of the time we learn that they want to have an abundance of savings. They want to buy a house. They want to pay off their cars. And we offer them two courses, and we're big on 1 hour modules, training modules. The first course is business math. We show them the actual books, and we show them income, expenses, gross profit, all the expenses for net profit that end up with net profit, and we show them where they fit. And we dispel the myth that the boss is getting rich and the employee is getting screwed. We teach them that the math is the math, and their role is to do a good job and contribute. And then we also offer them a one-hour module on personal math. They don't have to tell us everything, but we want to know what cars and property they own, what they owe, and what their net worth is. And then we have them call out what they take home. Doesn't matter what they gross, it's what they take home that they can spend. From all sources, his income, her income, side gigs, whatever it happens to be, minus expenses for housing, food, car payments, Visa payments, whatever. And then they have cash flow. And cash flow is either positive or negative, depending on how much they make, how much they spend. Then we challenge them to choose to put money away for a six-month emergency fund. And we have them highlight, this is all in their writing. We have them highlight the critical items that they have to survive. If they break an arm or lose a job or whatever happens, what do they have to have in cash to get through their first 6 months? of getting back to normal. And after that, we ask them how much to allocate a percentage of that cash flow to investments. And we do all this, I should say, on three giant post-it pages on a whiteboard. When we're done, we roll it up and give it to them. They take it home. They share with the family. If the family wants to come and do another one-on-one session, we bring it, put it back on the board, go back through it. They fill in the blanks that the first party forgot to put in. Typically happens. And then they're engaged. When they fully understand and they're willing to take charge of their finance, we offer them the Dave Ramsey course. We buy it, $129 for a year, where they do their own budget and they keep track of it on their mobile device. And then phase three is we start talking about investments, 401k, property or housing, and the other things that need to take place in their lives to become financially independent when they're older.
I truly, truly love the effort, the discipline, John, that you've put in. How many young people say, well, I walked away and I realized that, we have this nice car and this nice house, but my net worth is hardly anything because of all my debt. That's got to be an eye opener, huh, guys?
I don't even think it's just young people. I think it's just people in general.
Yes, it is.
I think the majority of people with today's society and everything you see on social media, we're so locked into the idea of keeping up with the Joneses that we just totally disregard what we can actually afford. It's a little scary. John, you have a great plan, the way you're working with your team. That's awesome.
It's their option. We don't push it on them. We just say, here's business math and here's where you fit. Here's where your income comes from. You choose how you spend it, but here's a guide.
We did this podcast, Town Hall Academy, a while back called Where the Money Goes with Patrick McHugh. And we actually have the slides up that you can download and get an idea of how it works. It's the business math. It's exactly right. How else can you introduce personal financial math savings if you don't say selfishly, I don't want to show you how this business runs, into your point, John, that the owner, every time we do a $1,000 job, it doesn't go in the owner's pocket. I mean, it's got to go somewhere, and here's where it goes. Would you like to learn a little bit about how that works at home? I love that.
We talk about finances often with our team. We have weekly team meetings. And if you guys aren't meeting weekly with your teams, you're really missing out on an opportunity to be connected to everybody. And it comes up from time to time. And when we do the class again, I always invite everybody, if you want to sign up for the class, here's the information. I tell my team, I tried buying it for them, and there was very little engagement. So I've decided that I want them to purchase the program, go through the class with me. And if you don't think it was worth $129, I will personally refund your money. And I've yet to have anybody ask me for a refund.
You're pulling a Tony Robbins over there.
I was not aware of that. But that's how passionately I am about it. And I live by example, right? And when we first got started in business, you know, oh yeah, I'm going to lease the equipment. I'm going to do this. And oh, look, we're going to, you know, get this loan for this. And we're going to get this loan for that. And the next thing you know, you get a little bit slow. And now you're struggling to make those payments. As a business owner, it's no different than I've got my motorcycle on a loan. I've got my quad on a loan. I've got the toy holder on a loan. I got my truck on a loan. I got my wife's car on a loan. And then things get a little slow. And now you just don't have the cash. John is right on, cash flow to manage all of those obligations. One of the most effective things I tell people right now is just quickly add up in your head everything you're making payments on. That's how much money you would have left over every month if you weren't making those payments. So what is it that you're really trying to accomplish? And the stress is enormous. And to be debt-free now in the business is just such a relief. We're able to save a lot of money. I was able to upgrade our alignment equipment last year, wrote a check, no loans, no banging for the bank to give me money. So it's just the freedom is amazing. To take it a step further, I've been driving the same truck for 11 years. As a shop owner, I'm showing my contentment to my team. I don't need to go out and buy a $90,000 truck every year or two, because it's a business write-off, which is a lie. If you think it's a business write-off and you're buying new vehicles, it's a lie.
It is a lie.
Frank, you just brought up something huge about your own personal struggle. And I use the word struggle in quotes because that's kind of where I want to go. Yeah, we're talking about how we can help our people. But why some shop owners out there don't want to join a group or share or have a cup of coffee with the guy down the road is he doesn't want to share up his secret sauce. And, you know, you've heard me on episodes before. The secret sauce is I haven't cashed a paycheck in 3 weeks. I'm not even sure I can make payroll for my peoples on Friday. And my parts bills, I'm 2 months behind. And so I'm struggling. Someone's listening and your ego is getting in the way of you making really smart decisions. Stop for a moment and think about everything we're talking about here as it relates not to your people and helping them, but how it relates to you.
And it's funny you say that. I remember a guy I was coaching who the very first sentence out of his mouth on our very first phone call was, "I don't think you can help me. I think you're probably just going to screw me and take my money, but I'm so desperate, I don't know what else to do." And I'm happy to say that he listened, learned, improved, and has a very successful business now.
Hey, Carm here. Now keep listening to find out why you can't outrun debt with a higher salary. I want to let you in on a little secret. Investing in a cloud-based shop management system could be the smartest purchase you make in 2021. Manual processes can really add up and cost your shop unnecessary time and money. Now, if you're writing out repair orders, you're wasting time. If you're chasing customers for approvals, you're wasting time. If you're manually calculating invoices or logging into multiple systems, you're wasting time. And if you're wasting time, well, then you're wasting money. Do me a favor, pull up Chrome, Safari, or whatever browser you use and type in getshopware.com. Click on the Book a Demo button in the upper right corner and check out Shopware's amazingly efficient software. Trust me, you won't regret it. Again, that's getshopware.com. Do you lie awake at night wondering why your competitors have hundreds of five-star reviews, but you only have a few? What's one thing that top auto shops like Urban Auto Care have that sets them apart from the rest? Well, it's hundreds of five-star Google reviews. Literally, you could have this too. When do you ask for a review? Well, there's actually an optimal time to ask your client for an online review. According to Broadly, the best time to ask for a review is immediately after a service. They know. Think about it. That's when the experience is fresh, the vehicle looks good, and you've just satisfied their needs for safe and reliable transportation. Lots of companies say they can help your shop get more reviews, but what do they really offer? Broadly is the only platform that partners with Google for reviews and messaging in the auto space. Rest easy with Broadly, which gets you more online reviews and more people coming into your shop. On the web at getbroadly.com/chat to start chatting with a Broadly representative and learn more on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. Hey, Russ, let's get a little deeper into some of the disciplines that you do with your people. You tell them, hey, basically, look at your debt can't outrun your income.
Yeah, you know, I want to give a big shout out to Frank Scandora real quick, because I don't know if Frank remembers the conversation him and I had. I think one of the first times we ever met, my wife had brought up this guy, Dave Ramsey, and Frank and I were at an AutoVitals conference, and we just started talking, and I said, yeah, my wife and I are thinking about going through this Dave Ramsey program, and he stopped me, and he said, it's a great program, been through it. He let me talk, you know, I continued to talk, and Frank was kind of a spark to help my wife and I get ourselves out of a big pickle we were in. So Frank, I'm publicly saying thank you. You've helped my wife and I become debt free. So we're almost there. We're right there. We're finishing off some student loans, but you know, hearing another successful business owner that I admire so much tell me you're on the right track, stay on that track. I came home from that conference and my wife and I went really, really heavy into this program, spent 9 weeks going through the program. You know, I wanted to share that with my team. We started just building basic spreadsheets, and I literally am doing this with one of my guys right now. He came in last week. He's like, I'm coming up short every single month. I don't know what's going on. So we break down what his take home pay is and what his expenses are. And we build out a spreadsheet, and I just implemented the snowball effect, right, with my guy. And I said, look, this is how much you could be saving to buy a house, to buy whatever. And I built the spreadsheet for him and showed him the path. And it's in 3 years, you could be completely debt-free, saving all of the money you're making. The reason why I say you can't outrun debt with a higher income, until you're trained to understand how your income works, you're just going to go out and buy something else. You've got a couple bucks in your pocket. You're going to go buy something else. You're going to see that shiny, flashy object that you want. And, you know, you deserve, you work hard, but a higher salary typically just results in higher debts.
More spending. Right.
After that Auto Vitals conference and Frank and I spoke, I came back and I immediately started selling anything that I had a term loan on. So my wife's car, we sold that. I sold my car that I had a lease on. And you know what? I'm in the industry to take something that is I could take a piece of, a vehicle and make it pretty cool, right? So now I'm driving a 2000 Ford Excursion diesel that I picked up for $1,500. And it's like the coolest thing in the world to most people because they're like, I haven't seen one of these in forever. And I'm much happier knowing that I don't have the stress on myself, right? I could sleep at night now. The stress isn't on my business because where's the first place that I'm going to try and rob to cover that payment? I'm going to try and rob my business just unloading this stuff. And I think that as a business owner, it's my responsibility to show my team that I'm not just talking about this. Like these guys at first thought I was crazy for selling off all this. I had family members calling me and being like, are you and your wife okay? Like, are you guys, what's happening? And I'm like, listen, we just have a bunch of stuff and I'm tired of making payments on it. I'd rather be sitting on that cash. Like Frank said, he was able to write a check for that alignment rack, but I'm sure negotiating the price, that was it. You control that conversation. Yep. Right? Because you don't have to finance it.
And I did get a good deal.
Right. I mean, that's just what happens. And surrounding yourself with people that have that like-mind mentality, they'll all tell you, successful people will tell you, you know, when you have cash, you're sitting on cash, you have better buying opportunities. So it behooves you to teach your team that too, because eventually one day we're going to want to sell. And I really want my team to be able to buy the business. So why not instill that in them now? So we're kind of creating our succession plan for the future.
That's a hell of an interesting thought, huh, John?
Yes, it is.
John's near his point in life, in his business, that he would love to move on. We've actually done, all of you have contributed so wonderfully to the podcast. John and I and Bob Ward did a great episode on that succession plan, and we promised to do a follow-up one day. When John is ready and willing. John, let's go back to this, you know, these great sessions that you've had with the Post-it notes. In all of the sessions that you've had, was there any common denominator that you discovered and you take away and you just say, wow, this seems to be a recurring thing with people in their debt?
The first thing that comes to mind is they never learned that from anywhere before. Not school, not from parents. They had no idea that this balance sheet income statement, basically look at their life, existed.
Their basis is credit card offers in the mail, free, same as cash for 6 months or 12 months, which is another financial lie. Cash is cash. Credit, same as cash, is not same as cash. Cash is cash. And Rush nailed it. I had the ability to call my supplier and say, this is December, right? I said, hey, I'm thinking about updating my alignment equipment. I'm going to pay for it in full. What can you do for me? And it was like, they closed out their books with a sale they wouldn't have had otherwise. I didn't need it. I had another year or so to go on my existing equipment. And I love being in that position where I'm not, oh my gosh, it broke. What am I going to do? Oh, can you please lend me money, please? And I'm just so grateful not to be in that position. And I'm going to apologize to my wife, and I know she's listening, because in the beginning, there was an enormous amount of stress on her to pay the bills. It really was. And we paid off the checkbook balance in the beginning. And that's not the way to run a business, right? So fortunately, we've got things turned around. There's no more debt. There's no more reason to be stretched out thin like that anymore. We had an opportunity to buy a vehicle to add to our loaner car fleet. Boom, here's a check. Another vehicle came across our desk. We thought would be a good car for an additional loaner car. Needed an engine. Boom, here we go. Let's just get this done and get it handled. The freedom is enormous. And even personally, right? I've got the itch to get a new vehicle. I'm ready to trade in one of our cars or sell them or whatever. And it's nice to know I'm in charge of that transaction. I can literally buy anything I want.
You know what it sounds like? Frank is hoarding cash.
A little bit.
and frankly, you can when you don't have any debt. And let's go back to that whole credit card story, Frank, that you brought up. I find it fascinating where people are paying their minimum balances and they see, and by the way, we can increase your credit score and all this junk that seems to come at us all the time. Do people really realize what the interest rate is on credit cards today? It's usurious in my mind, and it's almost like borrowing something from
the mob.
Well, I don't want to say that, but, you know, from Uncle Louie down the street.
Right? I'm Sicilian. I'll say it. You can never say no to a man named Guido.
I'm half Sicilian, Frank, so I'm with you. Okay. Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that we live in is trying to keep up with the Joneses and how easy it is to get credit today. I look at these Boost Your Credit Score commercials and I sit back and wonder, oh, my God, all I did is this and my credit score went up 10 points. And no one talks about being debt free. They just talk about being able to buy more because you got a better score.
While I was going through this journey, credit score is like embedded in your head. You need to have a good credit score. I do believe that's important. I'm not going to say it's not important. However, I started experiencing when I paid off the credit cards and wasn't using them, they started canceling the cards, right? And that's like a oh, like, is something happening here? And your immediate reaction is, that's going to hurt my credit score. However, while I have this good debt, let's say, you know, I'm still making my payments on my other stuff. I still have some debt that we're working this year at the shop. We're really working to become debt free in the shop. I could call that company and have that thing turned back on. It's not like I'm delinquent on my payments. So it's a strategy by the credit card companies to get you back in the saddle to spend money, right? Everything we strategize as business owners. Well, what do you think they're doing? They're multi-billion dollar companies that are just trying to get you to spend money. Frank, you said something before about, you know, your wife was carrying the bills. The amount of weight that comes off your shoulders when you're not living paycheck to paycheck, it's incredible how your relationships can develop in such a better way when you're not fighting about money. These decisions that you make and you have immediate buyer's remorse, right? Like you buy a brand new car that you couldn't afford and it's really cool for a month until you have to try and pay for it, or you hit that slow time like when one of my guys up here just said, and it creates this stress that you don't need, and you're trying to sleep at night wondering how you're going to make it through the week. And that stuff shows to your team. As a business owner, that shows to your team. And the particular gentleman that I was talking about where we just built the spreadsheet out for him, he's newly married. He was married this year. His wife is a really great saver. He didn't come from much. So when he gets money, you know, I think that he's trying to show like, hey, I'm making it is by buying things. And that's what's happened. But, you know, I love them so much as people. I don't want to see them start to have marital issues because of money. So it's super important to jump on this immediately and come up with a solution. And we did. And I can't tell you, like, the excitement in his face when I said, you could do this, here's how you could do it. You just got to stay focused.
You know, there's an important stat for that I'd really like to share. Statistically, people are twice as likely to get divorced if they have $10,000 in debt and zero savings than they are if they have $10,000 in savings and zero debt. Because that money is an enormous stressor. Carm, I put on my, you know, little list of things to talk about. Women have a gland on the side of their ribs that cramps when there's money trouble. It causes them to go crazy. It causes them to complain. It causes them to just constantly nag. And they may never bring up the fact that we're broke, we have no money, we're not saving.
It's just the gland is reacting.
The gland is cramped. It changed our lives. To have, and when I met Deb, I was debt free. And she had, I don't know, a car payment, a couple little things, not a lot, very little. And I said, well, you know, before we get married, let me kind of take a look. And she was like, really? You're going to look at my stuff? And I looked at it and I said, oh, that's nothing. We'll knock that out in no time. And she couldn't fathom not having car payments. She couldn't fathom not having a credit card balance that's kind of floating around. But it's real. It's very, very real. You can have money in the bank. You don't need car payments. You don't need credit card debt. You can have a very peaceful, fulfilling life.
Russ, you were saying in your talking points to me about utilizing your own financial planners to talk to your people.
When you're looking for a financial planner for yourself, you need to make sure that the way they like to do business aligns with the way you want it to work, right? So when you find that person that is going to understand your methods and understand why you want to do this and you want to be debt free, bring that person into your shop. Do a lunch and learn, maybe your team meeting on a weekly basis, you know, one of those weeks. Have your financial planner talk to your team. Have them go over different options. And as you're working with your team to become financially free, that's a Dave Ramsey quote. As you get them to start becoming financially free, they're going to be more open to the idea of investing for their future. If they can't make their minimum payments now, trying to get them to buy in to put $100 a week or $200 a week away in an IRA or a 401k or however you have your business structured, it's not going to happen. And I believe that's really why, like, I talk to a lot of business owners, a lot of shop owners in particular, and the buy-in from some of these programs, they just don't have it because your team members don't have the extra money. For us, when we bring in our financial planner, they typically come in, you know, I'd say like twice a year, they'll come in and they'll talk to the team and they'll say, hey, this is what's going on. This is what we can offer. As the team is becoming more financially independent, they're starting to make moves on how to invest in their future, how to invest in their kids' future. They're changing the strategy of their life and their children's lives. And when Frank and I met, I know I referenced this twice now, but I had one little boy at that time. And I told Frank, I don't want him to grow up and struggle trying to go to school and not be able to finish school. I wasn't able to finish school because my parents ran out of money. They didn't prep for it. I think teaching our team now how to invest, how to save and prepare for the future is super important. And it's really our responsibility to do that. I really feel as business owners, it's our responsibility to teach them, at least give them the tools and let them run with it.
If you have a financial advisor who says a little debt is okay, fire them. The guy that we work with who does come to talk to my team and who comes when they're eligible for the 401k to start, comes and makes an appointment, sits down with them one-on-one, is a Dave Ramsey endorsed provider. So I know he's got the same principles. Be debt-free, then invest 15% of your money while you're paying off your house. Because a little debt's not good.
A little debt leads to a lot of debt. Yep. You always start with a little debt. So I've talked to a lot of financial advisors, and the minute you say Dave Ramsey, just look at the expression on their face and you'll know if you're going to be able to work with them or not.
That's right. Good. Yeah.
I mean, they're either for it or they're not for it at all. And like Frank said, you want to run away from the people that are not for it.
Even mortgage debt is not a good tax plan. Because you're telling me that I should give the bank $10,000 a year in mortgage interest to avoid giving the government $2,000 in taxes. I have a better idea. I'll give the government $2,000 and keep $8,000.
The reason we're doing this show is that I believe there's a ton of shop owners that can benefit from this discussion, because each of you said, listen, if we don't do this right, how could we ever show and teach our people? And also to be burdened with debt as a shop owner, that adds to the struggle of not being able to hire great people and being a better marketer, constantly going to training and paying for training. You just don't want that level of debt on you. And I think the top operators of our industry are realizing and recognizing that. And I think this episode goes a long way to not only work with our people, but to work with ourselves. John, the whole 6-month reserve, when you talk to your people about that, do they look at you like you're weird?
I explained it to them that if they break a bone or lose their job or get sick of some kind, they need to survive for at least 6 months to get back on their feet. And I just make it common sense.
For the business owners out there, and Frank, jump in on this too, what do you guys feel is appropriate as a business owner for an emergency fund?
The same principles apply, but the risk is keeping a lot of money on hand at the business opens it up for sticky fingers in case there's a problem or we get sued or something. So I'm in favor of moving it over to a personal account and keeping a larger reserve should I need to invest back into the business in case of an emergency.
Yeah, Frank's right.
You're saying pull it out, put it in a personal account, hold on to it in the event that you need to reinvest into your company.
Yeah. And I made my wife a promise early on, two promises I made her. One was you'll never have to hide from a customer. And the other was I promised never to intermingle our personal finances with our business finances. I do not buy 12 rolls of toilet paper to take six home. I do not buy, you know, anything for the shop and split it up. And it's like, I'm winning, because you're not winning when you do that. You're lying to yourself and you're lying to everybody else. We don't keep cash out of the business. We have a very high level of integrity. Everything gets reported and everything is on the up and up. I need clean books. If something were to happen to me and I get hit by a bus, she needs to know she's got something really tangible. I got to make a phone call and either get somebody in here to help me run this thing or, you know, or dump it. But she needs a clean operation to be able to do that.
Nathan, I want to say hello to you. He's been joining us each and every week from Scotland. Great to have you here. Guys, you know, it looked like to me the best excuse in the entire world was the pandemic. You say the rainy day thing. If it taught us anything, it is that we weren't prepared for business to go where it did go. But yet, think about the success we had as an essential business in this industry and really what happened in the last year and how successful we all were because of it. And if you couldn't get out of debt during that heavy, great section of the pandemic, and frankly, everyone tells me we're still going strong as ever, and it's going to be another great, great year. So maybe that's the message, guys, is use this great opportunity to run a better business, to get the right margins going, set the right labor rates, pay your great people so that they produce so well for your customers. It can't be difficult right now as a coach to steer people in the right direction.
Not difficult for the ones with an open heart and an open mind. If you don't have an open heart and you don't have an open mind, you're not going to improve and get better. And if you're not working toward improving and getting better, there's a lot of shops that shut down during the pandemic. It's just me and my two guys, and I've got this, and I'm the best, and I know what I'm doing, and you can't tell me what I need to do better. Where's he now? And I think they really felt it worse than everybody else.
We have lost a lot of shops and a lot of bays in the last year, and you're absolutely right. Hey, guys. This went places that I didn't expect, and all the Town Hall Academies always do, because you guys always bring your givingness to every one of these academies. Thank you so much, Frank Scandura from Frank's European, Las Vegas, Nevada. Dropping the name Deb, I'm sure you'll be rewarded tonight for making sure she was such a great part of the show. John Gustafson, Gustafson's Brothers, Huntington Beach, California. John, thanks for sharing what you're doing at your end. And Russ Crosby from Russ's Wrench Auto Repair, Clinton, New Jersey. Thanks, guys, for being here. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Carm.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.